All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March the 21st, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Definitely a shift in the weather. The wind seems to be gone, and the warmth seems to be creeping back in, which is awesome. Apparently, yesterday was the first day of spring. Congratulations. That's awesome. Love spring. Goodbye, winter. I love winter in the beginning, but at this point in time, I am over it. And I think probably I speak for a lot of people. We're all over it. Ready to get some sunshine, get back to the beach, get to the pool, get back to doing some summer stuff. You know, I was thinking, I went for a run yesterday in the afternoon. Not my favorite time to run, but I'd started a creative list of reasons why not to run, and that was on there. You know, I don't like to run in the afternoon. I like to run when the sun comes up so I can get a cool picture and post it on my Instagram, right, and serve self a bit. And that's just being honest. I mean, I still like to be unique, right? I still like to be a unique individual in this big, vast world. But, you know, if I can't run in the morning and if it's too cold, I'm not running. So, you know, yesterday I said, hey, stop being silly. We need to get back to doing some running. And if in the afternoon is the time to do it, then you need to do it in the afternoon. And so I went for a run yesterday and just, oh man, I enjoyed it. It was a little chilly, but I dressed appropriately and really just enjoyed myself out on the trail and out with nature and saw some people walking and running. So man, it was just a great experience. I'd really starting, you know, I like that in that podcast yesterday, procrastination is sloth in five syllables. I think that's what they said. And that's sort of also how I've been feeling, a little sloth, because I haven't been doing much, man. It's been winter. I personally enjoy my character defect, that sloth side of me. It really enjoys this time of the year because I do love a day with nothing to do, right? One of the challenges with summer is that it's so nice that you feel like you should be doing something all the time. And you should, right? You should be doing something. And it's a lot of pressure. But I'm coming out of the sloth season, and I'm ready to, you know, get active again. And I tell you, I feel 100% better than I did yesterday. And nothing was really wrong yesterday, just that I haven't been active. I've just been a little sedentary lately. So to get out, I mean, I woke up this morning, I feel a little thinner, right? My pants fit a little better. My shirt fits a little better. I just feel a huge improvement. You know, I have to remember that because I was sort of suffering a bit with guilt and shame because I hadn't been doing what I like to do. Because in my mind, it's always still that battle. And I guess I'm letting that interior voice sort of win when I know better. Right. I know better. I remember when I first got sober, I had lived in this horrible existence, doing horrible things, hanging out with horrible people. Not that they weren't fixable, but I think we were all in that pit together. And I remember just thinking, I'm never going to get out of this. This is my world. And I just didn't think there was any hope. And I remember when I started to first find this program and first meeting, and I remember driving home and just, I must have felt 10,000 times better.
Kick you out if she ever, ever knew about all the you tell me that you do. Dirty, dirty boy, you know everyone is talking on the scene. I hear them whispering about the places that you've been and how you don't know how to keep your business clean.
Hadn't that's a good song. Yeah. Anyway, the point of this, I wanted to sit down and do this podcast today because I went to the meeting last night. It was on the ninth step, which I shared. You know, I'm trying to just, you know, keep a routine here. And it was Monday, and it was the ninth step, and it was a great meeting. One of the things that I love about going to meetings is that, you know, I love to hear other people's perspective. You know, is it right? I don't know. Is it wrong? I don't know. But it is a perspective. It's a thought, and, you know, you take what you want and you leave the rest. And it's always great because, like I shared last week, you know, I've done the eighth step, right? I've made a list of persons we had harmed, right, and became willing to make amends to them all. You know, I've done this, but until, like, and I sat down and talked to the guy that I shared about last week. You know, I said, hey, I just want to say thank you for sharing that. You know, when we make that list, it really allows us to take a look at what we were capable of, right? I tend to put the bad stuff, push it back out of the sunshine, so I sort of forget about it, right? But the reality is when you make this list, it lets us see, hey, listen, you may not be like that now, but you were like this in the past. And so, you know, I thought it was great. And then so last night on the ninth step, you know, which is... The ninth step is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, another very personal step. I think this is, you know, to be honest, it's about willingness. You know, if you've had a conversation with somebody that's not willing, it's pretty clear, right? And I think that's sort of what we're looking for in ourselves when it comes to this. Like, oh yeah, I do that, but I'm not, fuck that guy. Right. Or I'll do this, but screw her. I'm not doing that. You know, when we have these outs, right? These, like, I'll do all that, but I'm not doing that part. And that to me is not willing, right? And I think when you, and I shared this last night, I go, so much stuff happens before this, right? So much stuff happens before we have to make these lists and amends. You know, this humility has to be found. This surrendering, the high road, all of it. You know, if you come to this point in your progress of trying to find serenity, and you get to a point where you're like, yeah, I'll do that, but I'm screw him, right? And you are firm in your beliefs that you will not make the amends to a certain person. You know, it's about willingness. And so that's what I really take from these steps, 8 and 9, is are you willing to go to any lengths to get better, right? And one of the first things that happens to me with these steps is that I get to be better, right? I get to be a better person. I get to go find someone that I fucking screwed over or I behaved badly with, and I get to apologize. And because that's what self likes. You know, self wants to... And, you know, for me, I'm speaking for me. My problem is I'm self-centered. That's it. I mean, if I drink alcohol, I can't stop, and that's definitely a problem, but that has to happen. That problem doesn't show up until I put the alcohol in my mouth. These problems exist every day, you know, the self-centeredness. And so that's, to me, what I'm working on. And, you know, self is like, self is tricky, man. Self's camouflage. Self is sneaking around. And a lot of the times when you feel like, or when I feel like I'm doing something that's humble, right, to make an amends, to apologize, to clean it up, which is an act of humility, right? Because self at some point is like, we're not doing that. We're not going to make amends to anybody. That's crazy. We are who we are, and we're firm. But you're like, listen, man, I really want to do this. And then self is, for me, then self's like, all right, well, if that's what we're going to do, let's really do it great, right? Let's get the most out of it. And it's interesting. So, you know, one of the things that was a challenge for me is that my story kind of spans over three different spots, right? You know, my introduction to alcohol, my introduction to drugs, you know, was in Albuquerque, You know, it was with that babysitter that was like, try this, look at this, check this out. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And out of fear, right? All out of fear, all because I didn't want him to not like me. That's my fault. That's not his fault. That's my fault. He probably shouldn't have introduced us to that stuff. Sort of his fault, but the reality is if my feet were there, I played a role. I'm not a victim to that babysitter. I did everything I did. I was interested. I asked. I'm accountable. Let's move forward. But but you know, that's where that sort of interest began, was in Albuquerque. And then, you know, I think my behavior back in those days was like a lot of kids in those days. We, you know, we drank on the weekends. We had a lot of fun. Well, we smoked pot. We experimented with different drugs. But it wasn't my lifestyle. It was just something we did on the weekends. We had a lot of fun. Of course, there was injuries. Of course, feelings got hurt. Relationships were messed up during it. But it was all, you know, to me, casualties of war, right? I had no idea what I was doing. I was just, there was amends to be made. I shared before on this podcast that, you know, one of the things that I did is I stole $100 from my first girlfriend's father, and his name was on the list because I needed to make amends. And I did. I think he actually died. I can't remember, but that was important. So there were things from that first period of my life, you know, my parents, my family, Phil, that was his name, Phil, you know, my buddy John's parents, you know, stressed them out quite a bit, you know, had to make some amends in there. And then I moved out to California, and California was just debauchery. It was just the bottom of the barrel. We were doing drugs. It was selling drugs. It was in the arena. You know, it was all, we were all doing the same thing. There was no, this to me was all casualties of war. But through these first two situations, the main thread that ran through both of these so far is my parents. You know, we're a very close family. And I have clients, and I'm always surprised when they're, you know, they basically make it to about 18 or 19, go off to college, and then never come back, right? And then just have relationships with their folks, you know, three or four times a year. That's sort of how my dad was. He left Delaware and, you know, never looked back. And we would have conversations with my grandparents on the phone, but I might see them every couple years, every few, 5-6 years. But, you know, but my parents and I have been together really since I was born. You know, I moved out when I was 17 and lived in an apartment, but I was, you know, 5 miles away. Still talked to him every day, still saw him. Then my parents did move to San Diego. I stayed in Albuquerque, so we were distant for maybe a year or so, but called every day. My dad was still helping me pay my rent and supporting me. And then finally moving out to California, my parents living in their house, right? I'm in my 20s, still living in their house. At some point, my dad, you know, said, listen, you need your own place, moved out. I think he paid, you know, whatever I couldn't make, he covered the difference. Always still in my life, never seemed to get my shit together. And, you know, and then finally moving out to Delaware. And Delaware was really when my alcoholism set in. You know, up until that point and out in California, I used alcohol as a tool to kind of bring myself, because we were doing a lot of drugs. You know, I was a total drug addict, doing speed, smoking weed, you know, whatever it is we could get our hands on, mostly doing a lot of up. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, but to come down, you had to use other things, and alcohol was always one of them. So, you know, it was around, but it wasn't my favorite thing. And then when I finally moved to Delaware and all of the drugs and all that shit that I was doing out in California disappeared because it didn't exist out here, you know, I put all of my effort into alcohol. And that was another, you know, another third of my life, which was, but it was a lot different. Three separate occasions, three separate situations. And yeah, it's strange. You know, when I had to make this list, there was a few people on it, but the main one that I needed to make amends to was my parents. And, you know, a guy last night shared about, you know, a living amends. And I remember apologizing to my parents. And to be honest with you, that was the least thing they wanted to hear, was an apology. They said, yeah, yeah, just fucking, just take care of yourself, right? I don't think it was, I think it was more about just relieve us of having to take care of you. Because really up until this point, you know, my parents, it was like having a damn dog, right? It couldn't do much. You know, always had to make sure my brother and I were somewhat holding it together. But it was always this never-ending challenge for them. And so one of the big amends that I had to make was to them. And I did. And like I said, they were like, yeah, thank you. But just don't fuck up anymore. Just take care of yourself. And so that living amends is constant, you know, in my life today. I'm always, you know, I'll run into people, you know, one of the, and I didn't even put these guys on the list when I first did this, was the two guys that lived above me in that apartment. Me and those two guys would freaking fight all the fucking time. Not physically. We might have had one physical scuffle, but I think it was always just, you know, verbal, very, a lot of negativity, spewing nastiness. And I remember when I'd gotten sober and I'd moved out of that apartment. And like I said, I didn't put those guys on my list, but I was able to run into both of them years later and make an amends to them. And probably more, you know, I wouldn't say it's a 10th step. You know, I think in the end, the 10th step is what we use today for situations that happen, right? Like if I get into something that happens today at work, I can say, hey, you know, I screwed that up. I apologize. I handled that wrong. You know, I think you're great. I apologize. Can you forgive me? You know, that falls more into the 10th step. But this was still sort of this 8th and 9th step stuff where, you know, I hadn't seen these guys for years. They weren't on my list. It wasn't something that had happened. So I guess, I don't know what step. It's, I think it's more 9th step. But I was, you know, I was able to change my life, live a better lifestyle, build a little bit of things up in my life, like a job and you know, just improving. And then when I ran into them, I was able to make this amends to them. And, you know, that shit's pretty cool. I mean, that's some cool stuff when you get that ability, because I, you know, they deserved an apology from me. I was the drunk guy that lived downstairs. They made any noise, I'd beat on the ceiling with a broom. Shut the fuck up. I was out of my mind. And we would get into it, and, you know, it was just, it was a big freaking mess. And so when that happened, I was able to make that amends. And but that the point is that, you know, I try to live every day a better person. So you never know when a person may come back into your life where you can say, you know, it's one thing when you're doing the same old shit and you're making an amends, but it's another thing when you've made changes, you know, gotten sober, changed the way you live. And then when you do have these moments like that, you know, people say, okay, you know, all right, I accept your apology. Or maybe they don't, you know, and that's always the other thing, is that not everybody accepts our apology. Not everybody has interest in hearing what we have to say. And, you know, you have to be ready for that, because that stings, right? That's when you figure out who's behind this. Is this about humility or self? Is this about God or is this about the devil? And if it's about the devil, if this is about serving self, and someone tells you, I don't care what you have to say, I don't ever want to talk to you, I don't want your apology, stay out of my life, you're a fucking piece of shit. If this is about self, you're going to get pissed. Fuck you, right? Go to hell, man. I was doing this for you, right? But if this is about humility, if this is about building that relationship with God, then you just take it. You listen and you understand and you walk away with humility. You know, you don't want to leave that situation with more shit that you got to make amends about, right? Because eventually, self does start to fade out and humility does creep in. Somebody said that at the meeting last night. This is about humility. This is about that higher power road. This happens, the preparation for this happens in the beginning of these steps. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Right? You go through those first 6, 7, those first 7 steps, you should be in a better place when it comes to doing these steps, because you never know what's going to happen from them. You know, I shared. I mean, I was up, I was going to be better, and I was going to act better, and I was going to do better, and I was going to behave better, just as long as someone recognized it, right? Because self was still behind that. You know, humility, when God's involved, we don't care what people think. You just want to live a better life. You just want to do the right thing. You just want to have humility. But when it's self, when self's behind it, you know, we have expectations. We have, I don't know what the right word is, but we're more into it than we think. And when you feel your reaction, when you get, you know, when this situation comes up and maybe it doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go, pay attention to your reaction. I think it'll expose who was behind this. Was self behind it, or was humility behind it? Because when you're humble, you know, when, and you see it, you know, someone will say something and the reaction will be, I don't want, go to hell. And the person's like, I understand, you know, I appreciate your reaction. I'm sorry, right? But when the devil's in there, they fight back. I should have never apologized to you. You're a piece of shit. You know, it just all gets exposed. And, you know, but the beginning of these steps helps us get to a place, hopefully spiritually, that when that does happen, we're okay with it. And the person that shared last night, you know, shared that they're, you know, they had made an amends to somebody or had reached out to somebody and said, hey, can we get together? I'd like to, you know, have a conversation. They said, I don't want to have a conversation with you. I don't want to get coffee. I don't want anything to do with you. Goodbye. And this person's like, you know, that hurts, right? That stings. Because I think we want everybody to be like, oh my God, you've done so great. Raise you up on your shoulders and carry you through the streets about how awesome you are. Not the case. It's not the case. Not always the case. You'll have people. Oh my God, you've done so good. I'm like, hey, a lot of work to be normal, right? Just being normal. Just trying to be a normal person. I don't want to be above. I don't want to be anything. You know, I have, you know, I do this podcast. I do other podcasts. And sort of when you get into this podcast sort of business, man, a lot of people reach out. You know, they want to come on your podcast. I have a lot of people reaching out. So-and-so wants to come on this podcast. And it's not that so-and-so wants to come on this podcast. So-and-so has hired somebody to find podcasts for so-and-so to be on. But, man, when that happens, you know, my ego's like, hey, of course they want to be on this podcast. Not this podcast, the Rehoboth Social podcast. But, you know, and I feel ego dancing around in there. Ooh, people want to come on. And I just have to say, nah, I'm just a small podcast. Not doing that. And then I have people that reach out that want me to be doing an interview with a magazine that's highlighting people that are doing great things in the podcast business. And I'm like, all right, it's about time, right? But then I jump in, I say, hey, no. You know, I don't want to be awesome, right? I don't want to be, you know, it's not hard to see a lot of awesome people struggling, right? In that Ren song, and he talks about the pendulum that swings, and when a pendulum swings to the light, and it's bright light, but on the side of that bright light is the darkest of dark. And I don't want to experience that, man. I don't want to go to the top. I don't want to even think that I'm available at the top. I don't even want to think the top is something that I can reach, because the dark on the backside of that, the dark side is going to be so dark, right? And I just need to be even keel, right in the middle. I don't need fame. I don't need struggle. I just need to show up, stay in the moment, stay present, and, you know, not pick up a and number one, do not pick up a drink. Do not pick up a drug. Start there, and then just try to stay in the middle. And the latest one is somebody wants to have me on a podcast with the host to talk about my success, and I'm like, I don't have any success. There is no success. The only success that I have is that I have nothing else to do, and so I like to sit down and do podcasts, right? If I was doing this for the money or the fame, I don't know if I would enjoy this, right? And I don't know if, you know, I think we see there's some definite podcasters out there that have some fame, but their whole life changes, right? And who wants that? Who wants that? You know, I said at the, I think that's how I finished the podcast the other day. Just because it looks good doesn't always mean it's good for me. And just because it looks bad doesn't mean that it's bad for me. Right? The struggle, you know, it, I don't care how many different ways you paint struggle, it's always struggle. And it always doesn't feel good. But on the other side of struggle is the miracle, right? The gift. And when something looks super easy, you know, when something looks like, as a kid, what would we, or what did I always want, right? $1 million, right? A big house, Ferrari. I think that would probably fall under most of the things. But if someone just gave me a big house and all that stuff, I would probably fucking shoot myself in the damn head, because where's the work? Where is the participation, right? That's what we're designed for, to work and participate and be involved and help others. We're not designed to sit back and just have everything given to us freely. I don't think. I mean, maybe. I know I'm not. And so when I would wish for easiness, an easy path, free things, things coming to me without any work, yeah, that does seem like a dream, right? That does seem like a fantasy. But the reality is that would fucking kill me, you know. But I'm not wishing for hard work, more work, you know, rough days. But honestly, at the end of that day of a hard day's work that had, you know, things you have to work through, man, you feel good, right? And I wouldn't wish for that, right? I wouldn't wish for a hard day, but that's where gifts are given. The tough moments, the moments we have to work through these things. Oh, shit, the time. Let me, yeah, so I guess the whole point was, you know, the eighth and ninth step are personal. I know that the first seven steps are so helpful to me. They were so helpful to me and continue to be helpful to me. Don't rush it, right? Don't pick up a drink. Go to a lot of meetings and don't rush these steps. That's my opinion. Take your time. I think it'll benefit us better if we take our time and really get through them, because it's about humility. It's about having God in your life and getting rid of that freaking devil. And the devil will, the devil's in the details, right? So that's what I took from these steps. You got to have a pretty good foundation, because these are some interesting things. All right, so let me see if I can read. I hope that made some sense. Maybe not. I don't know. It's definitely a journey. Don't pick up. That's my best advice. Let's see, March 21st. Material and spiritual well-being. Fear of economic insecurity will leave us. Will it? Jesus. I'm ready. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. Having fear reduced or eliminated and having economic circumstances improve are two different things. Having fear reduced or eliminated and having economic circumstances improve are two different things. Yes, they are. When I was new in AA, I had those two ideas confused. I thought fear would leave me only when I started making money. However, another line from the big book jumped off the page one day when I was chewing on my financial difficulties. For us, material well-beings always followed spiritual progress. It never preceded. Page 127. I suddenly understood that this promise was a guarantee. I saw that it put priorities in the correct order, that spiritual progress would diminish that terrible fear of being destitute, just as it diminished many other fears. Today, I try to use the talents God gave me to benefit others. I found that is what others valued all along. I try to remember that no longer work for myself. I only get to use the wealth God created. I never have owned it. My life's purpose is much clearer when I just work to help, not to possess. Yeah. Yeah, go back and read that. I mean, I think that's sort of what I just was trying to say, you know. All the things that I really want probably aren't good for me. Wealth, fame, fortune, or I think that's the same as wealth. But fame is weird, too. I don't want fame. So I think if I wanted anything, it would just be tons of money. And I don't think that would be good for me. you know, I think it's good for me to not have money, to have to show up, to have to do work, right? So what I think is good isn't always good, and what I think is bad isn't always bad. Listen, I hope everyone has a great day. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Drop the attic, give me love, give me Fendi, my Balenciaga daddy.